This is Radio Free Asgard.
You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 114. The only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin and a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome along to the show. Bit of Asgardian news this week, though it's not terribly good Asgardian news, as the case may be. And Manuel was talking about this over on Facebook the other day, and it kind of came just in time for the show. And it has been very much on my mind over the last day or two. And that is the Journey into Mystery that we were talking about a couple of episodes ago has been canceled. Hopefully they'll be given some time to wrap up the storyline. And I'm assuming that they will, because a lot of things are now being written for the trade, and the stories will have a well-defined ending. And hopefully that would be the case in this case. And so when we cover this on the show, we won't have to have this dangling ending. You know, back in the 70s when Marvel would cancel a book, it quite often would just kind of end abruptly. I'm thinking like of Nova or Omega the Unknown, the original series, are just kind of literally right in the middle of the story, and you get a really unsatisfying continuation or rushed ending at some point. It makes me wonder if we really haven't come that far as female characters in comics, because it seems to me that in order to be successful as a female character in comics, to have people really want to buy your book, you have to be derivative of a male character. So I can see that, you know, Batgirl or Batwoman or Spider-Girl, in the case of Marvel, you realize Spider-Girl is the most successful female solo series that Marvel's ever had. And it just, barely hit 100 issues. Now, Wonder Woman is the obvious exception to that. Wonder Woman being, to most people's mind, the very first female superhero. I don't know whether that's actually true or not, but certainly is the most readily identifiable female superhero, and has done, you know, what, like 700 issues since the 1940s in the various runs, if you add them all together. In the independent world, what have you got, you know, that's even close to that? I can think of, you know, there's a lot of characters outside of U.S. comics who have been able to carry that kind of longevity. In Japanese manga, you have a lot of female characters that have been able to hold down long-running series. But the male characters still dominate. And I think I touched on it a couple of episodes ago when I was talking about how males tend to be more visual. That's one of the reasons why TNA is the big thing in female characters in comics, is that that's what men like to look at. And your comics readership, no matter where you are, is predominantly men. You can get a character like Sailor Moon or somebody like that, you know, maybe, you know, a little bit different from something you would see here. I don't consider Sailor Moon to be a superhero by any stretch of the imagination. You can have a character like that in anime and manga much easier than you could in the sort of superhero genre that we have the concentration of here in the States, and as far as comics are concerned. If you want to really be picky about it, you could say that Betty and Veronica in Archie Comics have run much, much longer. But we and that's true. I mean, obviously, they have been hugely successful. But we're really kind of talking about superheroes here. I mean, you could argue Millie the Model and Patsy Walker and all that, too. But I don't want to include that. Those are genre books that are completely outside of what we're talking about. Would you consider Betty and Veronica to be good role models for girls? I don't think I would. I mean, they're kind of dumb and goofy. Maybe girls are dumb and goofy. Well, you know, people in general are dumb and goofy, so maybe that's not such a bad idea. Maybe they are good role models. I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts on that, they should feel free to contact the show. The email address, of course, as I give every episode, is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and maybe somebody will write to me someday. And we also have a Facebook group, and you can come join us over on Facebook. So that's just kind of my thoughts. I mean, this is kind of tied in with what we've been talking about lately. I think it's bad news to hear that Journey into Mystery is being canceled, and Sif's solo series, such as the experiment it was, is kind of done. kind of a shame. I mean, hopefully that with the new Thor movie, maybe they'll see fit to bring it back. But somehow, you know, if it wasn't selling once, they would really have to do something extraordinary to get it to sell. And I think that's really the crux of the matter. Do the largely male comic book professionals, the artists and the writers out there, do they really have a handle on writing a strong female character and making a good book about it? And when you have a character in particular who's not based on a male character to begin with, and that's always an issue. That's always going to be a problem. Original female characters don't seem to sell that well. Anyway, anybody has any thoughts about that, they should certainly feel free to chime in. So we do have a Thor issue to cover this week, and it's a double size issue. Yes, we have the final chapter in the Dark Gods saga as we move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So as promised, this week we cover Thor number 12. Cover date is June of 1999. This is the final chapter in the Dark Gods Saga double size issue, retailed for $2.99. And the cover is by Johnny Romita Jr., Claus Johnson, and is one of these wraparound covers, shows Thor in epic battle against Paracus. In the background, we see Magistin Zelia shouting at Odin, and I guess they're just looks like they're just arguing. And Odin is wearing his funky hat, so it looks like he got out of his trap. And we see in the foreground the Destroyer, who is blasting at all these armored red things. I think that looks like Adva, one of the other gods, the dimensional portal god, goddess, whatever it is. Cool cover. Very, very nice cover. And we open up to the splash page where it picks up where we left off last time, where, remember, we have Thor went to this random planet in the middle of nowhere only to find the Destroyer. And how he found the Destroyer, who knows? Remember, Thor had offered the Destroyer a chance to team up to help Asgard, and Destroyer's like, "You and me? Partners? Are you out of your Asgardian mind? Because you're about 1 second away from being a corpse. Thou art a prisoner in this barren dimension, Destroyer," says Thor. "I offer thee freedom." And we have the title of the story here in the credits. Stan Lee presents The Mighty Thor in the Dark Wars, part 3 of 3. Dan Jurgens was the writer. John Romita Jr. and Claus Johnson were the artists. Gregory Wright was the colorist. Comic Craft's Wes Abbott did the lettering. Tom Brevoort was the editor, and Bob Harras was the editor-in-chief. And they're yakking while they fight here, and the Destroyer goes to crush Thor, trying to smack, but Thor manages to block his arm with his hammer. And Destroyer's saying, "Song says freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Thunder Boy, that's me. I beseech thee to listen to thy best interests are served. By snuffing the likes of you, Goldilocks. You dumped me on this barren rock." Well, no, actually, he dumped him into outer space where he just sort of was drifting aimlessly. I don't know how he ended up on this rock. "For that, you are going to pay," and smacks Thor with a wunked, and he goes skidding across the ground and creates a big old pile of dirt with a brump. And Thor kind of does a crunch sort of thing and aims his hammer at the Destroyer and shoots an energy blast out of Mjolnir with a scoom. And it's funny, they've almost forgotten about the whole hammer being destroyed thing. It just seems to me that it's just too easy to piece this back together and have it be fine. It just, I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way, and we'll talk about that at the end of the story, I guess. And Thor says, "Fool, hast thou not yet realized thy dire plight? Get thee back, lest the Antiforce created by the mighty Mjolnir endeth thy life forever." And Antiforce sounds awfully like something from New Gods. Smashes the Destroyer with a big white beam of light with a scracked, and didn't really have much effect. And the Destroyer says, "Cute. Didn't work before. Won't work now." And he's walking forward through this beam that Thor is shooting at him, just kind of wading into it. It's not slowing him down, he looks even. is getting close to Thor. Thor is able to get up off the ground. 'Tis clear the awesome power of the Destroyer hath warped the mind of the mortal man within. Thou art truly Colonel Preston Case, human of Earth. Do ye not ever think of home, thy family and loved ones? Verily, thy mortal shell doth still resist in hospital. The freedom I speak of is the freedom to walk as a man once more among those who care for thee. And the Destroyer stops at that point. He's like, you're saying you can put me back? It's lonely here. The emptiness. The rage. And the fight is done. Thor starts whipping up the Ajax White Tornado here. Such feelings are amplified by the Destroyer armor. Odin can restore thy life, Case. We need only free him from his prison.
Prove it's possible and you got yourself a deal, partner.
Then let the power of my enchanted Uru hammer carry us away. And he kind of do the Ajax White Tornado thing and disappear with a flash. And we shift scenes to Earth and, of course, Memorial Hospital, where Hannah and Jane Foster and Demetrius and Jake Olson, they all work there. And we, yeah, this is kind of the cafeteria here, and Hannah sitting at a table. And Jane Foster walks in and says, do my eyes deceive me? Or are those wedding magazines? Jake Olson and I have been engaged long enough, Dr. Foster. Time to get the ball rolling and order that bridal gown. Call me Jane, Hannah. I wasn't aware you'd set the date. Well, ever since Jake's accident on the docks, we've had a hard time nailing down the date. How does this grab you? And shows a picture of the magazine. Lovely. So you and Jake walking down the aisle. Committed. Oh, yes. I'm so excited. Hannah, how much do you really know about Jake? His family, other interests, so on and so forth. Why do you ask? If you know something. Nothing specific. It's just that I've seen so many people marry one another without truly knowing their partner. I'd hate to see you make the same mistake. Dr. Foster, you keep dropping ominous hints about Jake. What on earth is going on between you? And they're interrupted by Dr. Kincaid. Of course, that's Jane Foster's husband. He's like, Jane, sorry to interrupt. There's a situation with that patient of yours named Case. Definitely something you should follow up on. On my way, Keith. Thanks for the tip. And Jane goes running off. And she is kind of running towards the room where the Destroyer's body is. Well, the human who's animating the Destroyer's body. And we get a little bit of exposition from Jane here. Preston Case has been comatose ever since the Avengers brought him in. I guess that's what happens when your soul is transplanted into an Asgardian instrument of war. But I can't imagine what... Oh, it's you! I can only imagine her running down the halls of this hospital saying this out loud. People is like, it's like, what the hell is she talking about? So she gets to the room and she enters and we find a veritable crowd of people here. We have Thor, of course, and the Destroyer, as you might expect, but also the incredible Hercules is there. And Hercules greets Jane Foster. Aye, my Lady Jane, 'tis a most unusual sight to be sure. So wrought with potential danger that even Hercules doth question its wisdom. Let thy worries rest, son of Zeus. Thou mayest consider the Destroyer an ally for now. 'Tis his own mortal shell which lies before us. Methinks it is fondest desire to return and live the life of the man once more.
Have you lost your minds, bringing the Destroyer here?
For once, Jane Foster is the voice of reason.
Easy, Doc. If you're the one that's been keeping my body alive, you got nothing to fear from me. See, this armored shell I inhabit, something about it makes me violent. I want to go back, Doc. And Blondie's old man is going to do it.
Then I suggest you hurry before Case's body expires.
Fear not, O fairest of the fair. Yon dark god shall fall before our combined might, says Hercules. Though it hath occurred to me the assistance of the Avengers would be a benefit. Not this time, Prince of Power. This be an affair of honor twixt gods. Even the Destroyer, though mortal in spirit, is the product of Odin, the weapon of his will. Onward, then, says Hercules. The banner of victory is ours to carry. Aye, good Hercules, though there is yet one more to be recruited if the dark gods are to be vanished. Let ring the cry of battle. To war!
And Destroyer and Hercules head out of the hospital room, and Jane stops Thor. It looks like she's tugging on his cape here.
A moment of your time, Thor. In private. It's time for you to be honest with Hannah.
And Thor is playing dumb here. He is like, whom I am unfamiliar with. And she's like, oh, shut up. She says, oh, stop it.
You're engaged to that poor girl, and she doesn't have the slightest idea of the secrets you're hiding from her, Thor. Or should I call you Jake Olsen?
This is just bad artwork here, and I think it's supposed to show Thor being surprised by the revelation, but it doesn't. You know, it doesn't really come across that way.
Years ago, when you were Don Blake and we were in love, you came to me and told me you were Thor. You saved me from the immeasurable hurt that would come later. It was an honest and heroic gesture I've always treasured. Doesn't Hannah deserve the same?
We're so simple, m'lady. Other factors complicate matters. Still, I shall take thy words to heart. And Thor goes storming off. And we shift scenes once again, and we are back in Asgard. The evil, misshapen Asgard. Really looking spiky and dark and nasty and not very Asgard-like here. And Tawkits is taunting Paracus and Magistan Celia. And,
you declined to slay Odin's whelp. Now he'll return and bring help.
It loathes me to agree with Tawkits, my son. Why didn't you kill Thor when you had the chance?
For eons I have dedicated myself to the Thunder God's slow death, Magistan Celia. Destroying him in this mortal form offers no satisfaction.
Ultimate satisfaction may be attained, Paracus. The gulf has been traversed. The Odin Son is here.
That's Advil, of course, the dimensional goddess person.
At last, the final war has begun.
And we have a double-page spread here, and we have, you know, Thor, Hercules, and the Destroyer. They're up against the armies of the evil dark gods, pretty well smashing their way through there. I mean, these are just the flunkies, so they're not anything. We get a little bit of exposition here. Not far away, a battle of incredible ferocity careens through Asgard's decrepit streets. It's a conflict which surpasses any seen on Earth, for it is not a contest of men, but of gods. Three stand against hundreds, yet they do not yield before the enemy's numerical superiority, for they know that their cause is right and just, and it'd be better to die than to surrender to evil. And Thor, of course, is shouting, for honor, for glory, for Asgard! And Hercules is like, on the splendor of Olympus, which thou didst seek to destroy. And the Destroyer says, nuts to that! This is for life! And the Destroyer is fighting next to the two of them. And they're approaching Odin's castle here. And they approach, and we see the silhouette here of Odin in his bondage gear. And the Destroyer's like, that's the old man? That's Odin?
Aye, free him we must, for only then shall the battle truly be joined.
And Paracus is like, no!
You won't save him like you did before, Thunder God. This time you will be shamed.
Get thee gone, Paracus, says Thor. And he flings Mjolnir at him like he didn't learn it the first time. But this time Mjolnir smashes him just square in the chest with a brang and knocks Paracus back. He drops his spear thingy.
Lest thee wish to be shamed and humiliated again,
insolent brat, I'll grind your skull to dust with my heels.
And Hercules is bragging around here. Says, though thou art mortal at heart, verily dost thou fight like unto a god, Destroyer. Wouldst I perish this day, 'twould be an honor to die at the side of an ally such as thee.
No way, Hercules. Nothing's gonna stop me from living again.
Have at thee, evil one, says Thor. The filth and decadence thou didst bring to Asgard shall at last disappear before the might and majesty of Thor.
And he's drawing Mjolnir back to smash him and just really hammers him really good on the head. And, yeah, I'm not buying this.
In past encounters, mayhaps I hesitated in loosing my full fury against thee. Know thee well, the god of thunder shall not err so again. For thou didst imprison my father, light of all the universe, almighty Odin himself. For that thou shalt wallow in complete abject defeat.
And Odin is watching this and looking kind of rocky here. He's like,
thy courage does us proud, boy. Come what may, thou art truly a god among gods.
And Magistan Zeely is getting really pissed because the three of them have managed to wreck all this havoc here. And she decides to enter the fray and says, "Enough! This farce must end!" And she goes flying towards... I just noticed her legs are weird. Like they're like mermaid's legs without a fishtail, but they're kind of like bound together. So it's kind of this thing. And she's got all this red mist or energy or something oozing from her fingertips. And we get this pink Kirby crackle coming off her helmet. Really nice looking artwork here.
"Let the home you love so much be your doom!"
And she's charging the ruins up with this pink energy. And all around them, these buildings and the ground start exploding. And we got a crack-oom and a crack-dick. And Thor is falling down what looks like a hole in the ground. Getting a little bit of a narration here from Thor. "Majestan Zelia hath delivered not a severe blow to our hopes, but rather opportunity. For Asgard is fated to remain in eternal outrage, unless we stand triumphant at day's end." And you can see he's standing in like the middle of an Asgardian sewer. And it looks like one of these drains like he went down before. And he bangs his hammer on the ground with a thoom. He says, "Yon sewer pipe can deliver the access to victory. Come forward, Jake Olsen." And he changes back into Jake. And once again, he's going around crawling into the sewers like he doesn't know his way around Asgard ordinarily. Anyway. He's like, "The time has come for mortal hands. Yuck. Don't even want to think about what I'm crawling in." I'll tell you what you're crawling in. It's shit.
"All that matters is that Marnot's spell prevents the dark gods from spotting me while I'm human. If Hurt can hold off the hordes, we might still come out on top."
"By the glory of Zeus! But although I might, I've every shred of tenacity I can muster. Still, I'm unable to reach omnipotent Odin. If mighty Hercules is unable to vanquish these devils, what chance do any other have?"
And we see that it looks like they've jammed a lot more of these porcupine spikes through Odin's arms. And he's bleeding and shit.
"Verily, Thor and Hercules, living embodiments of courage and valor, do strive against overwhelming odds. Still, defeat and death shall be their cruel fate, while I am able to do naught but watch."
And Magistan Zelia is like,
"The God of Thunder hasn't returned, is he?"
And Advil's like,
"No, Magistron. Once again, he evades my ability to sense his true location.
He considers to defeat us in ways unseen. No matter, for no plan he might concoct is capable of defeating us."
And we cut back to Jake Olsen. He's crawling through the sewers here. And he's like,
"What a stench. Another few minutes and I would have passed out."
And he comes out of this square sewer pipe into the room. And of course, it just conveniently happens to be the room where the Warriors Three are. And we see the Warriors Three. We have Skinny Fandral, Skinny Hogan, and very Skinny Volstagg. And the guards, these big pink armored dudes with swords, are bossing him around.
"Work harder, faster."
And Skinny Volstagg says,
"'Tis unthinkable that the Warriors Three would take orders from the likes of thee, monster."
"Silence, Volstagg," says Hogan, "lest ye wish to taste the whip again."
"Thou art more grim than ever, Hogan, though even Fandral's high spirits are long gone." "With good reason, my friends," says Fandral.
And Jake arrives on the scene, and he reaches into his bag here. Apparently he has something in his bag to attack the guard with. And he's thinking to himself,
"By Asgard's golden gates, ne'er did I dare believe I might be lucky enough to happen upon my comrades three."
Yeah, very convenient that.
"Now if my luck doth hold, and this drug-born immortal hands doth work..."
And he jumps at the guard, and instead of, like, taking him by surprise or anything, he shouts, "Cowabunga!" Which makes no sense. Anyway, so he lands on the back of the guard, who nonetheless is surprised, even though somebody just shouted "Cowabunga" really loud behind him. And he drives the syringe of sodium pentothal into the guard. And we know it's sodium pentothal because he says so in the next panel.
"Sodium pentothal, bud. Enough to drop 5 bull elephants. Enjoy!"
And the guard's like, you, and falls down, sleeping with a whump.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
And the Fandral is slashing at the chain with his sword, the guard's sword, which he dropped. And he's like,
by my troth.
And Hogan is like, does a mortal born in Midgard here?
Get ready to rock, gentlemen. It's Independence Day.
And Fandral thinks he recognizes Jake Olsen. He's like, that voice, it doth echo with the stature and quality of...
'Tis he, good Fandral, the one of whom I did speak, the one who would most rightfully be called by the name of Thor, God of Thunder.
At least they didn't talk in logos. Like, I hate it when they do that.
I may not look it, but Volstagg is right.
By Odin's law, if this be true, then know thee well that wherever thou wouldst lead, the warriors three shall follow.
Keep these goons off my back while I kick phase three into gear.
And all the guards are attacking the warriors three, and there's a bunch of the guards. And Fandral's like, thy wish is our command, Thunder God.
To blood, to war,
says Hogan.
To arms, brothers, says Volstagg. And know that valiant Volstagg doth protect thy rear flank.
And Jake is like,
this is a long shot. But before we left Earth, Sykes' nephew did some crucial reprogramming on this in exchange for a good word from an Avenger.
And he pulls out a laptop computer. This is weird. Okay, so he's like, I don't know, is he supposed to be hacking into Asgard's computer or what? I don't know. So it's like,
code entered. All I have to do is press start.
One of the guards kicks the laptop off the stump or rock or wherever it is that he's sitting on, and Hogan comes from behind the guard with a chain, wallops it, and it's like,
I beg thy forgiveness, Thor. 'Twas the oversight of Hogan that allowed this creature to pass. Not necessary, Hogan. The command was sent. If it worked like it was supposed to, another alley is about to join the fray.
And we see on the Rainbow Bridge outside of the city a green figure slowly rising up. Kind of hard to tell who it is. Is it the Hulk? I don't know. Something green. And we shift back to Odin's palace, and the battle is raging on here, and Odin is still helpless in his bondage equipment, and we see the destroyer blasting all these people, Hercules wrecking up the place, and a lot of people getting hurt. And we get exposition, of course, above, in the middle of Asgard. Unrestrained warfare is waged as a multitude throws itself at only two beings. Despite the bravery and fortitude of Hercules and the Destroyer, despite the hundreds they have felled and the blood in the streets, despite the fact that their cause is right and just, the goal of their quest, Odin's freedom, is still but a dream. If anything, with each passing heartbeat, the tide of battle is slowly turned against them. And Balder is pretty impressed by all this. He says,
ne'er hath the will of Balder been thwarted so, that I remain chained, while the fate of Asgard hangs in the balance. If I could but reach yon sword.
And Tockets comes flying up.
The time to end this farce is nigh. There is no doubt that Odin must die.
And he gets blasted by some sort of an energy beam with a spaxk. And we see this green figure that we saw on the Rainbow Bridge. Who should it be? But Replicus, of all people, or robots, or whatever the hell Replicus is. He says,
Replicus shall not be stopped.
And Odin is surprised by this. He's like,
who licks blood? What manner of being?
Replicus shall not be stopped. And it looks like, just with one blast, he's taken out Tockets, and Tockets is laying burning on the ground and screaming, aye! And he just keeps repeating, Replicus shall not be stopped. And Replicus smashes Baldur's bonds and Sif's bonds. And Baldur's like,
thou art surely allied with the Odin son to favor us so. Thou art most passing familiar. Art thou of Midgard? Didst ye not once battle my son?
Replicus has been programmed to free the All-Wise.
Make haste, then, for if yon weight is not supported by my ebbing strength...
It comes slamming down with a sound effect, which is slam, really loud. But Replicus has gotten Odin out, and Magistan Zelia is obviously really enraged. Is like,
you might be free, Odin, but of one ultimate truth there can be no doubt. You are and forever will be my inferior. You shall never win.
And Odin's like, mayhaps, for I have held thy weight in prison for months, and I am weakened. Still, sayest I, let us determine who reigns supreme. Come to me, Zelia.
And Odin has picked up a sword off the ground, and he is glowing with energies. Odin power just kind of surging through him here. You have more of the battle going on here, and we see Pericus is fighting Hercules and the Destroyer, and of course the armies are battling but not doing much good. Destroyer's like,
we can't do it. We can't win.
Still thy blasphemous tongue, says Hercules. Odin is free. Mayhaps the unthinkable hath befallen Thor, but even so, fight we must.
Just as he says that, Mjolnir comes smashing Pericus from out of nowhere with a brang, knocks Pericus back, and Hercules like, Mjolnir! And it's Thor, and the warriors three come running into the battle, and Thor's like, aye, Hercules, thy bravery and sacrifice on behalf of Asgard shall be legend. Now while my blood doth boil and vengeance is demanded, 'tis up to Thor to do likewise. And he comes up and he smashes Pericus right in the head with a prang with his hammer. It looks like he just crushes Pericus's head. That's what it looks like from the illustration anyway. Anyway, Pericus is thrown back and is like, at last the time has come, Pericus, for victory or death. And we cut to Hercules and the Destroyer. It's like, can ye not feel it, Destroyer? With the unstoppable force of Thor on our side, the battle turns in our favor. Success is at hand. Just like fighting the Gulf War behind enemy lines. And Zelia is just kind of floating there, yelling. It's like,
you delude yourself. To my side, Adva.
And she's glowing just really, really brightly. And
to every ear, every eye, and every mind of my subjects, I sound the call of union.
And Thor is still smashing at Pericus over and over again. It's like Heimdall's eyes. Pericus disappears from within his armor. Yeah, he vanishes, and as do the rest of Zelia's armies. And they vanish, and so Odin and the rest realize they're fighting against nobody. And Sif is like, we claim victory. But, there's obviously something else going on here. And Odin is smart enough to realize this. He says,
nay, fair Sif, I fear 'tis something far different. Far more ominous indeed.
And we see this big glowing going on and a big red glow coming from underneath the ground. Thor's like, art thou certain, sire? What invisible menace doth threaten us now?
Alas, yon peril will make itself apparent ere long.
And the ground is rising up, and it's like all of the dark gods and all their armies and all that have come together into one energy field, and they've caused Asgard itself to rise up, and it's this big giant of rock and all this stuff. It's like this big, huge, kind of cool looking creature rising up, and we see the purple glow here of Adva, and of course the giant red glow of the Magistone Zelia, bringing this rock to life. And Hercules like, stand ye back, the very ground upon which we stand doth rise,
as though it be life unto itself, says Thor.
By my command, union is achieved. The dimensional gateway has been crossed. The very nature of life have been reshaped. The Legion are one.
A Legion appearance, wow. No, it's not the Legion. And then with a brakkam, this big rock creature breaks loose. It's shooting some kind of an energy beam. I don't know if that's its hand or his eye or what. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, there's a big energy beam coming down going, chow! And trying to blast at Hercules. And the Destroyer's like, holy, what is that thing? And Odin says,
'tis the power and evil of the dark gods, distilled into a single mighty being that doth follow the commands of Zelia.
Get thee back. Are yon's monster blazing eyes of death strike us all?
And Replicus is still like, Replicus shall not be stopped. And Replicus and the Destroyer hit by an energy beam, and the chow, and it's like, yarg!
And Odin's like, Replicus is lost. Unthinkable though it might be, even the Destroyer didst nearly perish. To battle, my son, Ere all is lost.
And Thor goes leaping forward to bang on this giant stone thing with his hammer, which should be broken.
Thou art the be-all and the end-all. Thy word is law. If 'tis an attack thou dost desire, then attack I shall. Thus speakest Odin. So axe Thor...
And he's trying to say his name here. He gets smacked by this monster's hand with a slam. Just smashes Thor halfway across the city. Bangs into like a cliff or a wall or something with a cricked. And you see Magistan Zelia's floating in the air here, and all this energy crackling around her. And Thor is kind of knocked kind of far away, and he's seeing what's going on here, all this energy and all this. As a double-page spread here, pretty nice one, too. He's like,
nay, for nigh unto months did the fate of the missing Asgardians consume my every thought. Now, just as everlasting triumph was well at hand, all Asgard, even omnipotent Odin himself, is imperiled. I say thee nay, let not this conflict end thus.
And we see Odin is being blasted by this ray too, but he actually kind of looks okay. And Thor gets to a high area and starts summoning lightning and storms and all that, because that's, he's thunder god. That's the kind of thing he does.
Not while my enchanted mallet offers still some hope. No force, no life can withstand the onslaught of my Uru hammer. Thus do I call upon Mjolnir to overcome the problems which hath bedeviled it of late, to bring forth the mightiest, fiercest, most unyielding storm ever conceived.
And Zelia's laughing at this. He's like,
a storm? You truly expect inconsequential wind and lightning to stop me? Fools such as you deserve your coming death.
And Thor is glowing, and there's all this energy pouring out of him. It's like,
nay, goddess, not just any storm, but a living fury of energy and rage that surpasses all others. One that might be focused through me, my godly life force becoming as one with the power of the hammer supreme.
And I don't think we've seen this power before. This I think, counts as a new power, but instead of the hammer blasting rays, which you've seen before, Thor is actually blasting a ray out of his chest, and it's just this huge white solar ray that's just coming out of his chest. Strikes Magistan Zelia with a chakak, and throws Zelia back, and is like,
until it strikes to consume the likes of thee,
and knocks Zelia to the ground with a krom. And Zelia's like,
insolent brat, I'll see to it that you experience pain such as you had never dreamed of.
And just as she says that, Odin, who's I have to add here, Odin is almost completely naked, and he's just wearing a loincloth. Odin goes jumping on top of Zelia. Looks like he's humping her here. It's like,
by the thousand threads of Ragnarok, Zelia, the time for the reckoning hath come. Thou art but a leech, using energy and power stolen from me. Energy I now reclaim.
And he grabs onto her, and they both start glowing in this big purple and red and white glow. And we see just this huge old brightness just expanding over the city, and we get a little bit of exposition here. It is believed that in all of existence, no single place has experienced an array of momentous events comparable to Asgard's. Birth and death of cosmic stature, unique to so many worlds, are commonplace in the shining star of the universe. Here decrees from the throne affecting countless lives in ways almost incalculable are routinely handed down. Here climactic battles with the stakes no less than reality itself have been fought. But all that is nothing has been equaled with this. Ultimate victory! As the mightiest of the mighty and the proudest of the proud, humiliated and beaten for so long, renders evil obsolete, taking back that which is rightfully his. And we see Odin's looking pretty pissed here, and he's not looking so hurt anymore. And he's kind of glowing still, but he's got like smoke rising off his body, and he's looking pretty angry. He's like,
"'Tis Or!"
And Thor comes running up to Odin. It's like, "'Father, be thou all right?"
"'Aye, my son, at last. By siphoning my life energy and using it against me, Zelia did keep me very weak indeed. Now they have been purged from Asgard, and we need fear them no longer."
And Thor wants to know where they went, and Odin's like,
"Dissipated. scattered across the solar winds, ne'er to plague us again.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll be back.
Thanks be to thee, Thor. May the universe recognize thee forevermore as a hero among heroes, a god among gods. More than prince apparent, thou art Asgard's savior.
Thy words honor me beyond measure, sire. And you get all of Asgard and Hercules are cheering, and we see the Warriors Three, and Baldur, and Sif, and Hercules. I just know that Odin doesn't have a navel. I don't think he has for any of this time, but I just noticed it. It's like,
for thine accomplishments, no honor, no tribute is sufficient. Know only that if not for thee, the glory of Asgard might ne'er be restored. And everyone's chanting, Thor, 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 Thor.
And we see a ghostly face kind of floating in the air here. And he's,
how very interesting, Thor. You think your troubles are behind you? Everything resolved? Have you so easily forgotten, Marnot?
And we have next issue's blurb. Who is Marnot? Find out next week here on Radio Free Asgard. So we definitely have a conclusion to the story, at least. I mean, that's probably one of the nicer things I can say about this. This story I still find to be incredibly weak, and almost all the way through has it been incredibly weak. There's a lot of payoff here, and that's good. I mean, I think that overall, if you look at this issue just as a single issue, it's a pretty good issue. I mean, the artwork is stellar in most of this issue. We have some really nice double-page spreads, some really nice battle scenes here. It's not as good as it could be, maybe, but it is rather good, I think. I think we have J.R. Jr. doing a pretty good job here art-wise. But overall, I still think the story is really weak. The story didn't build the way a story should. The stakes were never quite high enough. You know, they could say, well, Asgard's going to be destroyed, blah, blah, blah. But unless you feel it, unless you get that sense of it reading the story, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just like a puppet show. It's like a Brian Bendis comic, which is like a little kid playing with action figures. And there's really nothing there. And that's kind of how I feel about this entire Dark God saga. We got the bad guys are bad. We got the good guys are good. And they fight a lot, and they crawl through sewers. But there's not a lot of sense here. The bad guys just stand around waiting for the good guys to attack, and then they just kind of roll over. Other than Pericus, who's apparently the only one of these people who actually knows how to fight, it just kind of falls flat. So I'm not real impressed by the story by Dan Jurgens. I think he can do better, and hopefully we'll see as we progress through Thor Volume 2. And we're going to go away from it for a little while coming up here in a couple of weeks. So it's going to be a while before we continue in the main thrust of this comic. Just a few little silly comments. I just noticed that Odin has no navel, and I'm going back and I'm seeing that sometimes it looks like he might. but a lot of times it looks like he doesn't. We got some really good touches in the story. I do like the fact that they brought Replicus into the story. I thought there might be a reason why they brought that character of all characters back. It kind of makes sense that they would kind of throw that in. I mean, Replicus being kind of a lame character doesn't really do much. I don't buy that Replicus could destroy Tockets pretty much with one blast. That really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I never got the sense that Replicus was really all that big of a threat, especially now. I mean, he was kind of a lame character back in his first appearance with, he was a bank robber who stuck jewels inside his robotic body. He had stretchy fingers. That was pretty much his whole shtick. And for him to take down a god, even an evil Dark God? I don't know. I don't buy it. I know I said that earlier, but I really don't think that was good. Thor coming back into the story with Hercules. Okay, nice touch. I mean, we had Hercules earlier, and it makes sense. I really don't have too many complaints about that. I do have a major complaint about the treatment of the Destroyer in the story. And indeed, the way the Destroyer has been handled over the last couple issues in particular. And
If you think back to the Destroyer's early appearances, the Destroyer influence was strong enough that even Thor, when he was the Destroyer, had a hard time fighting against it. Sif was almost completely overwhelmed by the Destroyer persona when she inhabited the body of the Destroyer. So that this army guy, who was kind of portrayed in the earlier story as kind of a doof, seems to have really good control over the Destroyer to the point of where they actually would bring him into a hospital. To me, that's really not believable. It's very inconsistent with what we've seen of the Destroyer in the past. And being a creation of Odin, you would expect that that enchantment or whatever would completely overwhelm a mortal. If it came that close to overwhelming Thor, not only in classic, you know, Thor when Sif was the Destroyer, but in Simonson's Thor, when Thor was the Destroyer, it still had this profound influence on him. And you know, Thor had trouble controlling it. I don't see how this this kind of tin-potted general dude can do it. We got some nice examples here of Kirby Crackle and some good battle scenes here. We have some nice double-page spreads in this issue. I think it wrapped up rather too quickly. I think that they should have had this giant Earth creature appear closer to the beginning of the issue and have it really be a problem for them. Because as it is, they defeat it in about 6 pages out of a, 40-something page issue? And so, again, I think this is a weakness in the story. Nice to see the Warriors 3. I mean, yeah, we had Skinny Volstagg last time, but we actually get the whole gang now. So that's nice to see. All right, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the issue. Thanks very much for listening, folks. And we will be back next week with the next issue, which is sort of the denouement of the story. You get a little epilogue, and we find out who Marnot is. And then after that, we're going to go and move on to something else, I think, rather than Thor Volume 2. Because we've been here a while. I think a couple months now that we've been discovering this. Thanks very much for listening. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Bye for now.